And good morning. It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Wednesday morning, January 4th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Businesses in the basement of the Hotel Colorado have to move out by the end of this month. The 125-year-old Colorado cultural icon was purchased last fall by the Glenwood Springs Hot Springs and will close for renovation this winter, which means everyone has to go. KDNK's Amy Haddon-Marsh recently spoke with two business owners to find out how they're handling the shakeup.
The Pine Street business entrance to the Hotel Colorado leads into the basement, a winding, cavernous hallway with a handful of small businesses tucked away on either side, and an equally cavernous housekeeping headquarters and laundry room. The hallway ends at La Provence Spa, a hushed oasis of sorts, complete with tiled floors, massage rooms, and a bubbling fountain. Steve and Virginia Reynolds own La Provence. The spa has been in operation for at least a decade, but Reynolds used to own and operate the gym, which was behind the spa. All told, he's been in the hotel since 1991. Reynolds said he sunk more than $130,000 into remodeling the spa space in the hotel, money that won't be reimbursed when he moves out at the end of January.
Change is always hard. I kind of wish that they could have given us a little bit more time, but, you know, they have a big project on their hands and they can't be held accountable for all the, I call it collateral damage. And I imagine some of the other businesses will be in a similar kind of situation. Just there's not a lot of rent space in Glenwood.
Reynolds is upbeat about the move. He's found a space close by for La Provence, but the rent will be more. And he says he'll have to spend money remodeling that space too, which means losing business for several months.
The big question mark will be if we lose much traffic from the Hotel Colorado. That's a landmark in town. There'll be a give and take on that, but we'll be beefing up our marketing a little bit, and I'm sure we'll be able to do okay.
Just up the hall from La Provence is the Light Circle, owned and operated by longtime Glenwood Springs resident and massage therapist Elizabeth Winkler. She opened her doors 27 years ago as one of the first massage therapists in town. She's also thinking about
really
clientele.
Sad. I've worked with local people. I've worked with people from other parts of the world, all over the country, and what I'm envisioning for myself, that will be changed, you know. It's been a really wonderful opportunity for so many years. And so I get sad about that, even cry. You know, as a massage therapist, you need to experience your feelings instead of stuffing them.
Her three-room office is homey and full of the accumulation of three decades of work. The rooms are cozy and warm, as you'd want a massage therapist's office to be. Sometimes maybe a little too warm.
My space is only possible to work in it with air conditioning, and I think I'm about one of the only places in the hotel that has air conditioning. It's gotten hotter and hotter here, and many, many people are very unhappy with their rooms in the summertime because it's just broiling, you know. And in the wintertime, people open the windows because it's so hot because of the steam heat.
Room temperature is just one aspect of the hotel's problems. Winkler believes it will cost a fortune to renovate the place.
Glenwood Springs was one of the very first cities to have electricity because of the Shoshone plant, mm-hmm. you know, on the Colorado River. And, you know, this is probably pretty old electricity in this building. There's just an awful lot of things, you know, that just major, major fundamental things that need to have some help, you know, to keep this beautiful old lady going, you know.
Steve Reynolds agrees.
It needs an influx of tender, loving care. And I think that the Hot Springs is probably the right organization to do that.
Why?
They have the hotel next door. They have, obviously, the Hot Springs pool and their spa. And with the new bridge project, they're in a position to develop that entire area.
Winkler says she was notified of the coming changes in early November, which has given her only 3 months to make big decisions, find a new space, and move out, or call it quits. Reynolds says he was given just shy of 60 days' notice and would have preferred to stay until his lease runs out in 7 months.
Colorado is a landlord state, which means that landlords have a lot of rights that I wasn't aware. I would have assumed that a lease would have given me some right to damages or things like that. And really, that doesn't. As long as the landlord gives you 60 days written notice that they are in compliance and they can cancel the lease.
Neither Reynolds nor Winkler are calling it quits, but they admit that the move will be a big change, almost like saying goodbye to an era in Glenwood Springs.
For everyone involved, it's very, very dramatic. This is happening in this hotel. We have to walk across the pedestrian bridge or drive. That is very dramatic. So much is happening. We just have to hang on and do the best we can.
All businesses in the basement of the Hotel Colorado have to be out by January 31st. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
The number of police deaths in Colorado and across the nation appears to be higher than the federal government had previously estimated after adding media accounts and other sources to police department numbers. The Department of Justice says nearly 160 civilians die during police encounters each month. Eric Galatis has more.
Police officers have the legal authority to take lives, but keeping tabs on how many people are killed each year hasn't been easy. Brandon Patterson with the news organization Mother Jones broke down new Department of Justice data, which show police-related fatalities in the U.S. are significantly higher than earlier estimates.
And this new DOJ number is the fullest, I won't say complete because it's an estimate, but the fullest and likely the most accurate estimate that we have at this point of how many of these deaths occur every year.
After searching through media reports and other sources, the DOJ estimates 1,900 people died during a police encounter in the 12 months ending in May of 2016. In 2014, police departments reported only 444 police shootings to the FBI. The Death in Custody Reporting Act, passed by Congress in 2000, requires police departments to report deaths, and agencies that don't comply can lose 10% of their federal funding. But Patterson notes Congress only added an enforcement component to the law in 2014.
Essentially, the number was significantly lower than the new estimate because law enforcement agencies simply were ignoring the reporting mandate because there were no consequences under the old law.
Patterson says it remains unclear if the Reporting Act will be enforced after President Obama leaves office.
Both Trump and his pick for Attorney General Jeff Sessions have been critical of the Department of Justice's involvement in local policing issues and have indicated that they would sort of pull back on that under a Trump administration.
The lack of good data got national attention when Michael Brown, an unarmed black teen, was killed by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. News organizations The Guardian and Washington Post responded by making independent counts in a process similar to the one adopted by the Justice Department. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
A 59-year-old man who spent 20 years living in caves near Glenwood Springs was sentenced Tuesday in Grand Junction to a year of probation on a weapons charge, reports the Post-Independent. Michael Ray Collins was fined $500 and can't possess guns for any reason. Garfield County Sheriff's deputies spotted Collins on November 25, 2015, during a search in the mountains above Glenwood, where Collins said he had been living in a cave for 3 years. On December 9, 2015, the Bureau of Land Management Ranger searched the cave, which is on BLM property, and found three rifles and a Ruger 44 Magnum handgun, plus 2,612 rounds of ammunition. Collins also had survivalist-type books and articles in the cave. BLM rangers spent about 60 hours to clean the cave and took 8 cubic yards of trash to the landfill.